Let's have everybody stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to ask you to do something different. At the very end, this is a very familiar passage. It is something that I've always enjoyed reading on Christmas morning. And today is no exception. This is one of my favorite things about the shepherds. And so at the very end here, in verse 14, you get to participate. I want everybody, when we get to verse 14, everybody is going to be reading verse 14. That's the glory to God in the highest, right? Okay? So now we're going to start. And there were in the same country shepherds standing in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, ready? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Amen? Lord, we just thank you for being able to be here this morning on the day that we celebrate the birth of your Son. And Lord, the peace that you have brought down to earth through a little baby that was going to die on the cross, it says that he is our peace. And he made peace between us and him, between us and God, for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, just thank you for this. And thank you for bringing that blessing into so many of our lives. And I pray that if others don't know the Lord Jesus, we're able to tell them and show them that Jesus Christ can perform peace between us and God for the forgiveness of sins. Just thank you for this Christmas day, and be with Pastor as he's bringing the message. In your name, amen.
Well, today is Christmas. And what better way to celebrate Christmas than to celebrate with family? Our family. The church family. That's the true family, isn't it? I can't imagine a more glorious birth announcement than the one that we just read. This birth announcement by God through his angels to lowly shepherds. You think that God would have gone to a great metropolitan area and sent his angels there. But instead, they went to the lowly shepherds. Now, it's interesting how that sometime that every year there's some sort of a pageant going on. Even this year in our Christmas program, we had a little pageant, so to speak, in song. And the shepherds announcement was done, and as well as the magi coming, and we like to dress up and rehearse for those things, but this occasion was the real thing. This announcement was one to be remembered and to be rehearsed. And we are going to remember it today. So today we're going to examine this announcement, and we are going to talk about the birth of Jesus. Now, Jesus' birth was a joyous occasion. When we go back to verse 10, it says, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what the angels said, the angel said to the shepherds. What is it that's going to bring us great joy? So he says, I'm going to bring you great tidings of great joy. What is it that is bringing great joy? And the answer is lots of presents. No, it is Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now we get to the point, right? What or who is going to bring us great joy? And that is Jesus. Now I wanted to think about Jesus. And in this one verse, in verse 11, we actually find three titles or three identifications of who this person is that is going to bring us great joy. The three are that he's Savior. The second is that he's Christ. And the third is that he is Lord. And I want to break that down for you a little bit. Now, the name Jesus actually means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. So the word Jesus, the actual name that Jesus bore, was a testimony to the fact that it is God that saves. Now, I wanted to mention this because kind of a little bit of an aside, because not everybody knows this. And most of you probably do, but just in case you don't know this, whenever you come across in the Bible the word Lord all in uppercase, as opposed to an uppercase L and the rest of it in lowercase, whenever you see the word Lord in all uppercase, that is the word in the Hebrew, Yahweh, which is the proper name for God. Some back in the day we used to say Jehovah, but it's Yahweh is a better translation of that word. So whenever you see it in all caps, you realize that this is the proper name for God. Also, sometimes, in rare occasions, you'll find the word God in all uppercase, G-O-D, and that is also the proper name for God, and they've used that because of the confusion of the words and what they mean. The lowercase L, uppercase L with the lowercase, the rest of the word is a different name for God, Adonai, but Yahweh is all capitals. So that's just a little of an aside. Perhaps you didn't know that. Perhaps you did. But it's a good reminder whenever you come across that. And it also comes with this idea of Savior, or Jesus, which his name means Yahweh saves or the Lord saves, also comes with the idea that this is God himself who is coming in the flesh, the Emmanuel. Now, it's not in our text here, but we wanted to talk about the fact that this is literally God taking on flesh and coming as a baby. Now, the next name for Jesus that was given here, so he's Savior, literally, right? The second name is Christ. And so often we see the word Christ in the New Testament, and we must remember that this word Christ is the Greek word that coincides with the word Messiah. So everywhere that you see the name Christ, you can, in your mind, think Messiah. This is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. So it's important for us to make that connection, because so many times we just throw the word Christ around, but what we're saying is that Jesus is Messiah. He is the Christ. That's why this announcement is so important, because it says he is the Savior, right? And he is the Christ. He is the Messiah that was promised. way, way back in the book of Daniel was where it was first mentioned as a word, as a Messiah. Now, the title then goes on, and it doesn't just stop with Messiah. It goes, the Lord. So it says, Christ, the Lord. So many people have taken this this word Lord as just a title of respect. But there's much more to this word Lord than the Greek will give us. For example, what I've told you in the Old Testament, whenever you see the word Lord in all capitals, that is in the Hebrew, the name Yahweh. In the New Testament, we don't have the luxury of that particular word being translated into the from the Greek. But what we find is that if you do a survey of the New Testament and you just did a search on the word Lord, like we see it here, you would find it over 750 times in the New Testament. And I'll give you a clue. Around 700 times in the New Testament, it actually refers to Yahweh in the Old Testament. And it's clear from the context that it is actually referring to God. And so what is happening here in this announcement is that we find that God is with us, right? A Savior, Yahweh saves, the Messiah, Christ, and we find that it is the Lord Himself. That this isn't just a title like a Lord that we see from the days of old who owned land and that sort of thing. This is God come in the flesh. So in this announcement, we find an important thing is that they are saying who this Jesus is. So if someone were to argue that Jesus isn't God, you could even go back to this passage and argue the fact that he is truly God. Now, there's many other passages that argue that Jesus is God, but this one also gives an additional credibility to what we're saying, that Jesus is God. Now, that makes it a joyous occasion, doesn't it? Because now we have not only a Savior who is born, but God who's taken on flesh. It is God come in the flesh. And so Yahweh saves, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, and the news is great. And that's why it's called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now the shepherds were invited to see and find this babe in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And we just saw that in verse 11. It says, For there is born to you this day in the city of David. And in verse 12, it goes on, it says, And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, the city of David is Bethlehem. If you were to search the scripture, it was predicted that the Messiah would come and be born in Bethlehem. And of course, not only is he to be born in Bethlehem, but he was to be of the family of David. So not just the location, but also who Jesus is, that he is the rightful heir to the throne. And that's very important because he will reign in the future. We've talked about that when we did the Revelation series, that he will reign for 1,000 years here on the earth. Now, this small town of Bethlehem is still there today as a testament to the great thing that was done in that little town. Isn't that amazing that God has preserved that little town of Bethlehem in order for us to know that this was the birthplace of God the Son? You know how many cities and towns have come and gone, been completely destroyed? There's names of places that are listed in the Bible that no one even knows where they are. Did you know that this so important city of Babylon doesn't even exist anymore, and nobody knows exactly where Babylon was? They have an idea where it could have been, but nobody really knows where it is. And yet we know where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? The King of Kings, the Savior of the world, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord in flesh, came to a poor, lowly family to be born in humble circumstances in Bethlehem. Perhaps it is because we shouldn't want Jesus. Perhaps it is because he isn't rich and famous, or because he is somebody that at the time everyone would be looking to. But it's so important that we know that we have God in the flesh who came to save us. And he has done a great work in our lives. And that gives us great joy, doesn't it? Because we have a Savior, a Messiah, the Lord himself, who did a work in each and every one of our lives. Now, I remember how much joy it was when each of my children was born. Even in the middle of the night, I just wanted to tell everybody. When Amy was born, my firstborn, it was in the middle of the night. And who do you tell? And there was no cell phones or anything at the time. And so here God is going to announce the birth of his Son, God the Son. And what does he do? He brings his angels to shepherds in the field by night. What a joyous occasion. Now, joy can be yours if you take to heart the announcement. Now, today we're coming together to celebrate Christmas. And of course, there's the distractions of everything that goes on and the gifts and all this. But let's focus on the announcement and how that we can have real, true joy in knowing Jesus. Joy is much more than just happiness, isn't it? Happiness is based on circumstances, and joy is not. Joy has nothing to do with your circumstances. In fact, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Anybody here ever had a trial? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What a wonderful reminder that we are to have joy even in difficult circumstances. Joy is not dependent on my circumstances, but joy is actually based on a relationship. We have a relationship with God, and that brings us joy even in difficult circumstances. It is the joy that is in knowing Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But is he your Lord and Savior? I hesitate because some of you may not know him as your Lord and Savior, and just a person who came and died. But we have a personal relationship with God, who came and died and rose again, because He is God, and He has offered us salvation. What better Christmas gift could you ever receive than a relationship with God through His Son? Could you ever ask for something better? Everything else that we get is going to break. I remember when my kids got their little toys, sometimes they would break on Christmas Day. It was so disappointing. I had one of them broke a toy getting it out of the box. They didn't even get to play with it. Head fell off or something. I can't remember what happened, but it was just broken. And then it was such a disappointment for them. But guess what? We have a gift that will last for eternity. The joy that we have in Jesus. Just think about what the psalmist said about his joy in knowing Jesus. In Psalm 21, verse 1, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." That was a psalm of David, who rejoiced in the salvation of God because he knew God. Then we are called every day to rejoice in everything, because it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." We are called to remember and rejoice in that relationship that we have in Jesus. Have you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him? The best present that you can receive is joy in knowing Jesus. Jesus' birth brings joy, but it also brings glory to God. Look at what the announcement says in verse 13. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men." At first, there was a single angel who appeared to the shepherds with the first part of the announcement. So everything that we've read or talked about up to this point was a single angel who appeared. And then in verse 13, that one angel was joined by a heavenly host in verse 13, and they were praising God. And here's what they were saying in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Now, why did they use this particular announcement or this particular declaration of glory to God? Because God is glorified and His name is magnified. You see, in what God did in sending His Son to come to earth was to glorify His name. In order for us to be beneficiaries of Jesus' death and His resurrection, by giving us salvation. And when He does that, He changes a heart that is sinful and wicked to a heart that is turned towards Him and a life that gives glory to God. Because we could not save ourselves, and God is the one who saves us, and that brings Him glory. So this announcement is so important because it brings glory to God, because it is Jesus who came in order to redeem mankind. God took on flesh, and He proved by doing this, He proved his love, his mercy, and his grace to the repentant sinner by dying on that cross. When this was God's plan from the very beginning, even before Adam and Eve were created and before they ever sinned in the garden, God had a plan, and his plan was to bring glory to himself through a Savior, Jesus, who would come. Look what Peter says about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Isn't that amazing that God's plan from the very beginning, even before he created anything, he knew that we would sin and he knew that we would turn against him. And yet, despite all that, in order to prove his love, his mercy, and his grace, he let it happen in order for Jesus to come and die on a cross to pay for our sin. Wow. Wow. I mean, if that doesn't just overwhelm us with thought of incredible gratitude towards God, joy, but also with this glory to God aspect to our life, that we want to bring glory to God. It was through Jesus that we can have that genuine peace with God. Let's go back to verse 14. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So that actual peace, and Randy mentioned this during the prayer time, that it's true peace with God, right, that we have as a result of Jesus coming and dying on a cross. Peace actually has two aspects. I don't know if you've thought about this much, but there's peace with God and there's the peace of God. And they're slightly different. Peace with God is that reconciliation that we have because we're sinners, and that he died on a cross. Jesus died on a cross to pay for our sin, and he reconciled that. That gives us peace with God. So that peace, we don't have peace with God. We're his enemy. But through Jesus and his death on the cross, we can have peace with God. And then it results in peace, the peace of God. So once we are saved, once we have a relationship with God, now we can actually have the peace of God. So no matter what happens in our life, we can have peace. It's just like the joy that we talked about earlier. We can have joy no matter what the circumstances. And now we talk about peace on earth. Well, it's not no wars, because that wouldn't be a right interpretation, because there's been wars for the last 2,000 years, so that's not it, right? The peace that was talking about here on earth is Jesus coming to bring peace between us and God, and then as a believer to have that peace of God. This is a peace that is not dependent on our circumstances. And as a believer, as someone who has put our trust in Jesus, we have both kinds. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. And then the announcement actually goes on, and it says goodwill towards men. What is that goodwill towards men? That goodwill is demonstrated in Christ and his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. What a wonderful way to bring glory to God, to bring joy into the world, for he himself to take on flesh, the Lord, Yahweh with us, Yahweh saves, in order to pay the penalty for our sin. Wow. Sobering. But also, what an incredible way to bring glory to God. Now, some have tried to find fault with God. They always try to find fault with God, don't they? Because they say, well, and I've heard this said, somebody said, well, isn't it egotistical for God to want to bring glory to himself? I mean, it would be wrong for you to want to bring glory to yourself because none of us are God. Because God is God and he has the right. He's the only one who has a right to bring glory to himself. And he wants us to bring glory to his name as well. Because he is God and he deserves the glory. He's the creator of all things, the Almighty God. And he deserves glory. Believers are called to live a life that brings glory to God. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have salvation. If it wasn't for Jesus, you couldn't have God's peace. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would have no joy. In fact, you would never have been born. Because it was God's plan to come and to create you so that you could respond to the call and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is a free gift, and you cannot earn or deserve it. You can't work for it. Just like on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whenever you opened up your presents, did you have to go and wash the car first? Well, I did. No, just kidding. No. A gift is a gift. It's not earned or deserved. And God offered that free gift of eternal life to us. You don't have to work for the gift. It's free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, even the faith to believe, the grace that is bestowed, the forgiveness, all that is a gift of God, free. And you can't earn it or deserve it. Salvation is not about how much you give to the church. Salvation is not about baptism. You cannot get saved by being baptized. Salvation is not about doing a good deed. Whatever it is that you think might earn God's favor, you can't. You can't earn God's favor in any way, shape, or form because everything that you do would be selfishly motivated and it wouldn't count. Unless you have God working through you to do the good deed. And then it counts because it's his deed and it brings glory to him. And when we do them, it's not for our purposes, but it's for God's, to bring him glory. So how do you live for Jesus? Well, you do his will. He's shared with you from his word what he wants you to do, how to live. He's also wants you to keep him at the center of your life. Make him first. And I'm proud of you. You're here today. You put him first. Read his word. It's his love letter to us. The Bible. Read it. Learn what he has in store for you, what he wants you to do, and develop that close relationship with God by confessing sin readily and keeping him at the front of your life. And then you will experience the peace of God. Your life is here to bring glory to God. Everything about our life is designed to bring glory to God. If it wasn't like that, then as soon as we got saved, he'd take us out. Okay, you're saved now. Come be with me. No, you're a testimony to what God can do in the life of a sinner, how that a life can be changed because of your life. So live it to the glory of God. Is your life bringing glory to God? I hope so. If not, then get it right. Confess it. Or perhaps you need a relationship with him. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus' birth was a joyous occasion. It was also a day that brought glory to God and continues to bring glory to God. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for today, and just a great reminder that you are God, that you had a plan, that your Son, God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came in humble circumstances in order to bring salvation to the world. And we heed that wonderful announcement. I'm so happy that Luke included this account in his book, in his gospel, to tell us about those lowly shepherds who received that announcement and then went and saw the babe and was a witness to what happened. And Lord, I thank you for reminding us yearly and even daily and weekly as we are reminded of our relationship with you and how important it is. Lord, thank you for today as a reminder to your birth of your Son. And we thank you and praise you and give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.